L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. And with me, Robin, today are Martin.
Good afternoon, Martin. I'm well.
It is the afternoon.
It is the afternoon.
I like what you're wearing.
Oh, that's because it's an all-time conspiracy. That was a definite plug, wasn't it? Conspiracy's hoodie.
What a fantastic logo on that hoodie.
So, I'm very jealous of that one, in fairness. I think that's probably my favorite thing that we've got.
Mm. But in answer to your question, yes, well.
Very well.
Better well.
How are you, Mr. Alex?
I'm okay. I'm not wearing conspiracies merchandise which is a shame.
It's my shirt, though.
I should be.
Thank you very much. Anyone that's watching on YouTube.
You can't buy this from our Teespring page, but you can buy Conspiracies merchandise.
And with that shameless marketing over.
That wasn't even planned.
That wasn't planned. Martin just put his hoodie on.
It's so easy for me to sell out my soul.
It comes naturally.
So, Robin, what are we going to be discussing today?
Well, I'll be hosting the weekly quiz at the end of today's episode. Alex, you'll be...
What will you be discussing today? More to the point.
Yeah. Looking at some news,
I will be regaling you both with some news from the past week. So it's about plant-based meat substitutes and some interesting new developments in that area.
Very good. You're a vegetarian, aren't you, Robin?
I am, yeah.
So, you know.
And Martin, you'll be telling us...
Oh, yeah, about the zombie government zombie apocalypse plan.
Ooh.
Well, yours seems more exciting than mine now, doesn't it?
Yeah. but yours is probably more applicable to the everyday listener / viewer.
Possibly. But, you know, plant-based burgers aren't going to help you against the zombies.
Mm. Yes, true. Mm. Having said that, there are plant-eating zombies in this story.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, let's get stuck in.
Okay.
Tell us all about it.
So this is a plan laid out by the government, the US government, Department of Defense. So this is plan CONOP 88811.
Okay.
Fair enough.
CONOP. That sounds dodgy.
Or this was called the Counter Zombie Dominance Plan, which is probably a cooler name, right?
That is quite a cool name.
Or dominate those zombies.
Mm.
Yeah.
Counter Zomdom.
Exactly. So it's a 31-page strategy to deal with a hypothetical zombie attack.
Zombie attack. Okay.
Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Mm.
The Last of Us, playing that at the moment.
Thing is, I'm curious with this because obviously zombies' interpretation of them are very different depending on what film or TV.
I was about to ask, what kind of zombies are we looking at here?
Because
there's 28 Days Later. You're running infected.
Yeah.
Or it's,
World War Z. Okay.
Yeah, who we got here?
So there are... there's three parts of the plan. I'll tell you that first. So the first part is to create and uphold a defensive plan to protect humankind from mind-munching predators. The second part of the plan is to establish procedures to eradicate any threat of zombies. And the third is to restore law and order to a war-ridden economy.
Whoa.
Yeah, okay. It does sound like a blockbuster movie. And as you were saying, what are these zombies? They were classified into eight categories, ranging from your run-of-the-mill undead created through bacteria and pathogens in the air.
Right.
So that's your standard zombie, right?
Yeah.
That is your Last of a Zombie, pathogens in the air.
Yeah, I mean... What would you say is the standard? Because I don't know. Would you naturally go for the supernatural
the standard
kind
is
of
the
zombie?
The dead like rising from the grave and then biting living people or killing them.
Yeah, but
the standard modern one is that it's some kind of disease, bacteria. Yeah,
yeah.
And
of course, the classic
that would make the most amount of sense
is all voodoo. Do they have voodoo in that list?
It's not written on here. But back to your point to Alex's news story that's coming up later. They range from this type of zombie to vegetarian zombies who have an unending craving for grains.
See,
when you started that sentence, I was like, what's wrong with the vegetarian zombies? Just let them be. But yeah. They've got an unquenchable thirst. Yeah,
get rid of your grain. So
they're just grazing fields. See, that sounds like, oh, well, just let them be. That's probably a nice thing. But then you've got over a billion zombies.
Humanity will die out, eradicating
you know, the Amazon rainforest and crops and stuff. Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, you have to have a zombie pesticide. All of your grain.
Zombicide.
Well, in fact, it does mention zombie threat summary. The different types of zombies.
Yes. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. Pathogenic zombies. PZs are zombie life forms created after an organism is infected by a virus or bacteria or some other form of contagion.
Ooh. Okay,
yeah.
So that's like, a fairly classic zombie, right?
That was our standard one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That also seems like the most likely. I don't know. That seems that's the scariest prospect to me.
Yeah. Mm. Zombie number two, radiation zombies. RZs, I love these. RZs are zombie life forms created after an organism is infected by an extreme dosage of electromagnetic and or particle radiation.
Whoa. So these are the feral ghouls of the zombie world. Yeah.
I mean, that one sounds real science fiction because we've had extreme radiation, though.
Yeah,
right?
We
know what it does to people.
Oh, Robbie, you wait for number four.
Oh, yeah.
Number three, evil magic zombies. EMZs are zombie life forms created via some form of occult experimentation in what might otherwise be referred to as evil magic.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that they've, you know, had the distinction between evil and good magic, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
That's true, yeah.
This is getting complicated very quickly, isn't it?
They've thought this through.
Mm. Okay, science fiction. Number four, space zombies.
Space zombies.
SZs are zombie life forms originating from space or created by toxic contamination of the Earth environment via some form of extraterrestrial toxin or radiation.
Oh,
that's interesting. That's quite interesting.
So they're separating extraterrestrial radiation and toxin from
normal radiation. Yeah.
That's interesting.
They've got a second part to this which says zombie satellites can be classified as SZs. However, they pose no danger to humans, in brackets, unless they conduct an unplanned deorbit. quality. Okay, number five, weaponized zombies. WZs are zombie life forms deliberately created via biomechanical engineering for the purpose of being employed as weapons. Mm. Zombie weaponization programs and supporting infrastructures are included in COAs. Don't know what that means, to deal with these threats.
See, I can believe that one. That one could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Zombies, yeah.
Yep.
So are they kind of like sleeper agents of the zombie world almost?
Oh.
Like, I don't know, you can just say something and they turn into a zombie. Can they use weapons and that kind of thing maybe?
I don't know. Depends. I was imagining, you know, like a deliberately infected and, you know, controlled.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like animals, you can train them kind of thing. Mm. But yeah, maybe they're more advanced.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the film The Crazies?
No, I haven't actually.
Because there's a disclaimer on the bottom of this that says, the movie The Crazies exemplifies the most common type of WZ. In brackets, human turned into zombies via exposure to toxic chemicals / gases.
Okay. Because the original was George Romero, wasn't it? And then it got a remake, which was supposed to be all right.
I've heard it's quite good.
Yeah.
Okay, number six. Symbiont-induced zombies. SIZs are zombie life forms originating from the introduction of a symbiont life form into an otherwise healthy host. Although the symptoms of symbiont zombieism is similar in most regards to pathogenic zombieism, the symbiont does not kill the host organism quickly or at all. However, there is no known way to save the organism after zombieism has occurred.
So that's your Last of Us.
Yeah.
Infected with the fungi.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Seems like it.
Venom from Spider-Man.
Yes.
And then we've got our vegetarian zombies, which we've spoken about a little bit. they only eat plant life, apparently, and don't attack humans, of course. They can cause mass deforestation or elimination of basic food crops. So I like the way that they've done this, because it does add that other layer of what do we do if it... And not everyone's trying to attack humans. Some of them are trying to wipe out a...
Although these guys, sounds like it's worth keeping a few around to mow your lawn.
Yes. Exactly.
keep them chained. I'll keep nibbling.
Clicking up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then last one, chicken zombies. So they say that out of these categories, only one is like a real threat. And this is of chicken zombies originated in 2006, where there was an incident in California when they unsuccessfully euthanized poultry using carbon monoxide. And this resulted in what they called haunted hens crawling out of the piles of their slain sisters.
I'm so confused.
Do you remember that?
That is
no.
The most,
do you remember the zombie chickens?
No, I don't.
Oh, it was a big story.
I remember what you just said to the end of my days. That has haunted me.
No, look it up. Look after this.
That is horrendous.
So many questions.
They made
about
zombie
that.
Chickens.
Why yes. were they trying to kill them all?
In like a good gas question. Chamber, kind of.
Yeah.
They tried to gas a bunch of chickens.
Also, what do the zombie chickens do?
They were just all over the place, mate. All over the place. I don't know exactly.
How disruptive can zombie chickens be?
Yeah.
And what was their behaviour like to indicate that, well, those are zombies?
And more to the point, those are a problem.
Yeah.
We've got a plan on a military level for this.
Yeah. I mean, all it says is that the zombies just walked around, what were zombies? The chicken zombies walked around until their organs failed, which doesn't sound like a traditional zombie right there.
No.
But maybe they were more aggressive, clucking their way around the pen.
Maybe this
was cause for concern.
Was there some cannibalism going on with the chickens, maybe?
Which I suppose could affect food supplies.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm call me stupid, but my instinct says if they created the chicken zombies, there's an obvious preventative measure they can take, which is don't do the thing that created them.
Yes.
Stop creating zombies.
But I think step one, you're being slightly presumptuous of the fact that it would be the government who would create the zombie plan. The zombie outbreak.
That's true.
Could be a rogue scientist somewhere. Yeah.
Could be.
Who's seen it and just thought, let the world burn.
Yeah.
Even more than it already is.
Or just a few careless farmers. Don't know what they're doing.
I'm going to add some carbon monoxide to the human population. So the plan goes through like the various stages of saving the world from a zombie rule, and has phrases like counterinsurgency campaign and siege initiative, dominate and stabilize, and restore civil authority. So it's basically a quite comprehensive way of defeating a zombie outbreak.
I'm amazed they've planned this thoroughly for zombies.
I mean, it's one of those things like, if it did happen and we weren't prepared by now, after all the films and TV shows that have come out about it, then, we kind of deserve to die, don't we? If we haven't planned, with everything that's come out, we've got to have a plan just in case.
It's true, but you know what would go down if it didn't have a plan? It would be the movies, because everyone would be like, don't you remember the movies? Humanity is its own worst enemy. We've got to work together.
Yeah,
and everyone would be
true.
Like, nah, I'm going to declare myself king of the bowling alley. And you're like, no.
I mean, it always annoys me. Do you guys watch The Walking Dead?
No.
I gave up a while ago.
I gave up several seasons ago. I've heard it's got better, but it always annoyed me. Like, we're in season 5 now, and you're still walking around in a t-shirt. Come on, wrap your arms. Get some neck protection. You know that they're going to sneak up on you around a corner.
Yeah,
it's true.
What are you doing?
Get some armor.
It's a good point. Yeah, I mean, what do you think the likelihood of a zombie outbreak happening is?
Well, now I'm worried.
Is there something being hidden?
If they've made a plan.
I think the Last of Us one always creeped me out, because that was kind of based on that those ants that actually do become zombies. It was like a fungal mold.
The clickers.
The clickers, because that kind of thing would be like a mutated... it was like a mutated fungus. And that kind of thing, scares me.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't keep me up at night, but the thought of that, I think, is probably the most plausible way zombies could maybe happen.
Yeah, it would have to be some kind of disease outbreak.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
but there's probably enough dodgy, top secret biological weapons that they've worked out in the labs that if they got out, they could do this kind of thing. I bet there is somewhere. It would probably be Russia, wouldn't it? The next Chernobyl will be.
If you
bioweapons.
Think how many scientists out there have that kind of like knowledge,
mm.
and then think about how many of them have watched anything with zombies in and just thought, I might give that a go tomorrow. Obviously not release it to the public, but, you know, I could probably do that. I could probably make a strain of
zombie
virus.
It's like AI all the time. And scientists are just like, oh, AI is really cool. I'm going to make another breakthrough. Just like, you watched all the movies, right? And say, yeah, they're my favorite films. It's like, I think you took the wrong lesson away from this. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was that drug, wasn't there? That boy took. What drug was it?
Do you mean the zombie drug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flacker.
Flacker.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's the one. And maybe a cross between that.
Was it that man with
the
girl
Batman
who tried
Begins.
To like bite someone's face off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Batman Begins, the fear drug where they're all attacking.
Have that mixed with Flacker.
Yeah.
Although I guess then you don't transmit it onto anyone else, do you? because you have to take it. No, but if it was poisoned in the water supply, could be a start of at least a some kind of a zombie related attack.
Mm. That was a really weird case, wasn't it?
That's
absolutely terrifying.
Follow up on that one.
Yeah.
But then if it were that kind of thing, it would always be quite short lived, wouldn't it? Because it was so violent and aggressive that even if it spread really quickly, it would be like those viruses that spread too quickly to sustain themselves because they kill everything, every host organism.
And then doesn't
in the
spread.
Area. Yeah, and it doesn't spread.
I've played Plague Inc.
There you go.
You've got to spread it to everyone and then get the lethal lethal side effects.
Or is that where you have to try and poison the whole Earth or spread a virus around the Earth?
Yeah. It's a fun game. I'm a fun person.
Okay, so why was this plan made in the first place, though? Like, what was the real reason behind it? This was released in a Freedom of Information request.
Okay.
Basically, the document saying what this was all about. So a bit of background. So military planners were assigned to the U.S. Strategic Command in Omaha, Nebraska, during 2009 and 2010. And they were looking for creative ways to devise a planning document to protect citizens in the event of an attack of any kind.
Okay.
So this was an initiative that was meant to basically in a large-scale outbreak or defensive situation on U.S. soil. It was meant to be, okay, how do we defend ourselves?
Right.
So they use zombies as basically the way of structuring it because they thought it made people think outside of the box.
Mm.
So if they had it as like a terrorist event or something like that, it would be very much grounded in reality. Whereas with using zombies, they could supposedly use a lot of different scenarios, things that wouldn't necessarily happen, and use a bit of that poetic license.
Right.
So they could think about different situations that they wouldn't do otherwise if it was grounded in reality.
But it's that age-old discussion. Like everyone's got their own individual zombie plan, I think. Like if zombies were to break out, have you not thought of
what's
this?
Yours? No. Well,
we'll go to the sea, get on a boat. Obviously,
but zombies can walk underwater. You've not read World War Z.
Well, they can walk underwater, but how are they going to get on a boat? Like out in the middle of the ocean,
they stand on each other's shoulders.
Well, okay, in this case, with those kind of zombies, then I think the whole world would be screwed.
So you're going to live off fish the rest of your life?
No, just fish?
No, that's not true.
Your life becomes a
water
world.
I'm going to get a group of people, not you two, obviously, and we're going to steal a cruise ship, and we're going to dock in ports,
You know how to dock a cruise ship into a port?
I mean, I don't, but hopefully one of the group would.
One of the group will be a naval officer.
Hopefully there'll be some kind of guide on board that will, you know, like a step-by-step. And we're going to do
a
user manual for the cruise ship.
A cruise ship. And we're going to, you know, do like seaside raids. And that's how we're going to get supplies and live off the land.
They won't see you coming.
So, so if Alex disappears and we just see outside his door just an endless line of bikini-clad women, we know that he's putting his group together for the survival.
You know what? I don't know what could be worse is if you went to do one of your raids, Alex, okay?
Yeah.
Got back on the ship and not knowing that a zombie had infiltrated your ship and being stuck out at sea with zombies. That should be a game.
That's
true.
Zombie ship.
That's a pretty good idea. And also survival. It's making me rethink things. But surely you guys have you guys never thought of this? Like what to do in the event
not
of a
not to that
zombie?
Level of detail, no.
Not massively.
Okay. Well, think about it now.
I was going to assume that if the zombie plague happens, then it's the wrath of God and we're all going to die anyway. So, you know.
Oh, okay. You're out of the group.
I'm that religious fanatic in the mist that gets everyone else killed.
Okay. I think quite a few, that's kind of like a standard pastime to do. No? Okay, well, I'm clearly the odd one
where
out
here.
Where
is this going? I'm confused now.
Ask the audience who wants to be millionaire style, what would you do in the event of the zombie apocalypse?
But my original...
Get a cruise ship, fill it with bikini-clad women and Alex Brown, sail the world raiding the shores.
B, get a baseball bat and attach barbed wire to it and hide in your attic.
Yeah. C, stock up and fortify in the local mall with anyone you can find to help you.
Yeah.
See, now the ball's rolling. Now they're thinking of things.
Kill yourself to spare yourself the pain.
Oh.
Well...
Don't do that. Don't choose, Steve.
No. No, fight it. Yeah, bite it, why exactly. Not? They get you. It'll only hurt for a second.
But my original point was...
and then the rest of eternity.
But my original point was, if like people plan these kind of things in their mind, I can imagine just the military being like, let's put together this plan. You know, it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, they're able to ask questions, like with the vegetarian zombie. Mm. It's like basically you're asking the question, what happens if there's an attack against our... Yeah. Our food supply. That's what you're asking, but it's in the way of it's making it a little bit more creative, maybe yeah. a little bit more fun
yeah.
For these people trying to work it
more
out.
More abstract, so you can theoretically apply it to a multitude of scenarios
exactly.
that would happen.
Exactly. So yeah. if you were saying, what happens if the bioweapon was used and it destroyed all our crops, it'd be like, well, who's caused the bio? It'd be like, it'd be very specific to yeah. a yeah. scenario that people have probably thought about in their head.
Yeah.
Mm. Whereas this is way more broad, isn't it?
All right, I see where it's like, oh, we know how to deal with zombies eating all our crops.
Yeah.
So we just swap zombies for this, whatever it is, bioweapon.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. Clever.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to read you guys a little bit of the
please.
Of the plan that was disclosed that I thought was quite interesting. So this part is the disclaimer of the con plan 8888. It says, this plan was not actually designed as a joke. During the summers of 2009 and 2010, while training augmentees from a local training squadron about the GOPP, don't know what that is, members of the US Stratcom component found out that the hyperbole involved in writing a zombie survival plan actually provided a very useful and effective training tool. Yeah. Planners who attended the Joint Combined Warfighting School, great name, also realized that training examples for plans must accommodate the political fallout that occurs if the general public mistakenly believes that a fictional training scenario is actually a real plan.
I guess it's like, it's planning for the worst case scenario, right? Isn't it?
So that's, yeah. And that's also one of the reasons they didn't use a real life plan, because they didn't want it to get out and then become a conspiracy, if you will. Having said this, it still is a bit like, that could even be a double bluff, couldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I was literally about to say that. Like, if they're willfully doing it, then again, they could be saying zombies, but meaning this thing.
Exactly.
This active threat that we anticipate.
Yeah.
Swap zombies for Russians.
Mm. Mm.
Zombie Crop Russians. Eating Russians.
So I thought that was really, really interesting. And it goes on to say, rather than risk such an outcome by teaching our augmentees using the fictional Tunisia or Nigeria scenarios, I mean, they're just
fictional.
They must have been other scenarios they've used previously, surely.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Okay. We elected to use a completely impossible scenario, debatable, that can never be mistaken as a real plan. Because the plan is so ridiculous, our students not only enjoyed the lessons, they actually were able to explore the basic concepts of plan and order development. Yep. Very effectively.
I feel like if they'd used sharks instead of zombies, that would be more impossible.
Because you're
not going to get sharks eating your crops. It's not what they do.
Mm. No.
Whereas zombies could exist.
Exactly.
Mm. Well, that's the thing. Maybe this was just a bluff. This isn't a joke, but we've chosen something that could be impossible. And actually, there's American scientists working underground, making this zombie pathogen to release on society.
Yeah.
You know, just so that they know that they can wheat people.
It's like a multi-layered bluff. The people doing the plan think it's a joke, but actually Stratcom know the truth.
Yep. And so they're just getting the minds to put together a plan for the inevitable. Interesting. Okay. So the question for me now is, what is the likelihood of a zombie outbreak? And secondly, is this, are the government lying about this in order to cover up for a real life event that could actually happen?
Why was, if it had to be obtained through a Freedom of Information request, there's two things there. Firstly, they clearly don't think it's sensitive enough that they redacted it.
Not all of it was released.
Interesting.
I mean, what they do say is some of it wasn't released, including key names of people involved.
Right.
Which is fair enough.
That's fair enough. Yeah. But what else wasn't released?
Yeah, exactly.
That leads on to my next point, which was if it wasn't so sensitive that they couldn't release it, why didn't they release it?
Mm.
Clearly, they want to keep it secret for some reason.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess like it's a fictitious scenario, but also shows the US's real defense strategy.
Mm.
That's true.
So, yeah, you substitute zombies out with some kind of biochemical weapon, and you've got the US's actual defense strategy for that event. So releasing it to the public and to the world might not be the best course of action.
Yeah.
But then they released it.
Which So maybe they're just, it's just a fake report.
The whole thing.
Or like the, how they'd respond to it. Maybe they've got an actual plan.
So they drew two drafts is what you're saying.
Maybe.
One of which is false. Ooh.
Hmm. Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean, I'm interested to have a look into the Tunisia and Nigeria scenarios.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting.
I wonder why they picked those two countries.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, right?
Examples. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like if this was based more on reality, surely they would maybe know that there would be an inevitable freedom of information request on that document, and so wanted to make it more abstract, basically cover up what the actual plan would be in the event of such an attack.
You've reminded me, my question at the beginning that I wanted to ask you was, if this was a freedom of information request, how did someone know to make this request? Or was it just potluck?
I was wondering that as well.
Do you have any plans to deal with zombies? They're not going to give me any answer. My guess
would be that Conplan 8888 was included in another document, and someone thought, what's Conplan 88? Gave a freedom of information request just for basically what that was. Saw it referenced.
There's a thing, genuinely. Conplan. That's a dodgy name. Clearly it's fake. It's a con.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, what was that short for again? Conplan?
So it was short for something super outbreak. Wicked. Yeah.
Outbreak. So short domination. For
Counter Zombie Dominance Plan.
Whoa.
America. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Cons on Dom.
I mean, I'd feel relieved that they have a plan at the very least, just in case the zombie outbreak is to happen.
If it came out that the UK had a plan like that, would you be like, I'm all on board? Or would you be like, you're wasting our resources? The country's going to crap. We can't even sort out Brexit and you've got a zombie plan. I mean, is this a good use of resources?
I mean, that is true. Maybe that's a case of the military budget going too high, that they're just sitting around making plans for zombies.
In times of relative peace, the military's got to do something, yeah?
No, I think it kind of makes sense as a way to teach students, though. Like, they were teaching this in like a school, weren't they? Military school. It seems like a good, outside of the box thinking exercise. Maybe make a plan for in case zombies invade.
I want to know what their plan is, particularly for the political part.
That's true. How to restore law and government to a,
because that could potentially be terrifying world. If you read into the detail. I mean, who knows? Their solution could be benign, or it could be just like, get the army, kill dissenters, and set up camps.
Okay. So.
Oh.
Got a little bit about the defensive operations they had in mind for it, okay?
Okay. To defend against zombies attacking.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, have you got the full list?
This is the real.
All right.
Doc. This is interesting, actually, as well. This is really interesting. They have the legal considerations of everything they do. So, like, what the legal ramifications if you actually attack a zombie?
Yeah, because are they technically dead?
Yeah, exactly.
Or are they just, ill?
Yeah.
What happens if you kill someone on Flacker?
Yeah.
You can be a human on drugs, aren't you?
So, have they developed 10 to 15 different plans to cover every scenario? As in, like, oh, here's your vegetarian zombie, but that zombie's just an infected person, therefore they're a human and we can't kill them.
Yeah.
And then another scenario where they're a vegetarian, they're also undead and therefore no longer human.
I think the plans definitely differ depending on the particular scenario, the zombies involved. Yeah.
Like a decision tree.
Yeah.
I love that. All these military, these soldiers confronted by zombies attacking them. Just like, get out the piece of paper with the tree on it. It's like, is it vegetarian? No, it's coming after us. It's like, is it
to the top?
Is it undead? Is it undead by magic or undead by disease?
His brain is hanging out. There's no way he's alive.
A bird watching. Which zombie? But I mean, they've got a rough guide as to what the different phases of the plan are.
Oh, right.
So it says here, the different phases. So phase one is called shape. So we conduct zombie awareness training, which is pretty much what they're doing with this document, right? Phase one is then to deter. So it's just whether they can be deterred or not. And so there's the different scenarios here. So if they can't be deterred themselves, what is the plan of action? So it's pretty much what you're talking about.
It's actually what we're talking about. That's incredible.
Phase three, dominate. I mean, fantastic.
That's such a terrifying thing to say.
Yeah.
Dominate.
Find them, isolate them, destroy them.
Okay.
There you go.
A lot of it is protocol that's included in here. Lock down all USS Stratcom operation locations for 30 days. Assume mission-orientated protective posture, MOPP, inside all workstations and direct MOPP4 for all personnel who venture outside fortified positions.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite complicated.
Yeah, quite detailed. Yeah.
What it actually is.
So it's like put everything on lockdown, people...
Yeah. You know. There's 45 positions. So there seems like there's definite spaces where zombies can't get into.
Interesting.
Maybe they have been playing The Last of Us. 45 positions.
Definitely.
Go outside the walls.
Yeah, exactly. It does kind of sound a bit like that.
Issue orders for defensive forces to kill all non-human life on sight.
Whoa. I guess, is that including animals in case they're carrying the infection?
Yeah, I assume so.
Wow, yeah, thorough.
Initiate bomber and missile strikes against targeted sources of zombies, zombie infection, zombie support infrastructure using all available forces.
It's America. We knew that would come in fairly soon.
Yep.
Blow them up.
BPT to participate in render safe operations with con-US, US territory, or other foreign territories as directed by President of the United States and Secretary of Defense.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what the dominance plan is. As an overview,
it's pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah. Sounds nice and simple. I think anyone could manage that.
Exactly. And then the phase four is to stabilize the situation. So deploy recon teams after D plus 30. I love they're using D still. D plus 30 to ascertain general safety of environment, of locations for human habitation.
What I haven't heard yet, which probably goes without saying, but apparently not if you watch The Walking Dead. I hope that they're all wearing, you know, a lot of layers.
Wear layers. I think I was on here somewhere.
Yeah. You know, and if it's 28 days later, that kind of thing where you can be infected with just a single drop.
Oh, blood, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, wear a mask as well.
You know what I found quite interesting about this document, though?
Yeah.
Is the fact that there isn't anything which tells the general population what to do. It's all very much top down. This is our strategic. Here are the orders that we're going to implement. There's nothing that's like general information for the public. Of course, they're coming up with an umbrella strategy.
Yeah.
But there's no like, at this stage, we inform the public what's going on.
Yeah.
There's none of that.
Yeah.
At this point, we invite the public into our fortified positions. Yeah. It's just...
Blanket bomb anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
And then there's like two pages of assumptions. So there's an assumption here, which I think is really, really interesting.
Okay.
Assumption H. The only way to ensure a zombie is dead is to burn the zombie corpse.
Oh. I thought it was destroy the brain, yeah.
But actually, no, they've got a good point. Fire, if you incinerate the corpse, then there's nothing there to be animated. Yeah,
the only way.
Good point.
The only way. Mm. I do think it's a bit of an assumption, though.
Yeah.
Admittedly.
Hopefully. I guess start strong. Find an easier method. Yeah,
that's true.
I bet real zombies wouldn't be shooting them in the head.
And also, you would have to get rid of the body anyway after a certain time because then it would cause disease and that kind of thing.
True.
If it's just left out in the open. So yeah, burn them, be safe.
But I thought flamethrowers were illegal. So in terms of the action of setting them alight would be quite difficult.
I think in the event of a zombie apocalypse, those kind of rules go out the window.
Yeah. So why have you been stockpiling flamethrowers? I knew this day would come.
It's comprehensive. And do you think it proves that a zombie attack might be on the horizon? Or do you think it is purely a hypothetical situation and used as a training tool as opposed to...
I feel like it's tempting fate that since they've made this plan, it's going to be put into action at some point, even if they didn't intend it to be.
Well, it seems like there's enough ways that zombies can come about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the scary things.
Definitely.
With eight different types of zombies.
Yeah.
And you look at like diseases in other animals that haven't translated to humans, like mad cow disease, and you think, Well, I mean, one mutagen and that in there, if that mutated and just infected humans, that's basically zombies, right?
Yeah.
Didn't mad cow disease, it kind of, it did infect.
You can get it, yeah. That's why they destroyed all the cattle and beef stock.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And it did, yeah. It
was, and all rabies or something like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think rabies, that's a good example.
It kind of just left to more, it led to more of just a decline in organ failure as opposed to anything else, didn't it?
It's very possible, I think.
So what do you think, Martin? Now that you've read the report, do you think it would work in the case of a zombie outbreak?
This plan?
Yeah.
It's fairly top line, isn't it? It's fairly hypothetical. I think a little bit more detail needs to be given about exactly what each part represents. But at the same time, they've got a few bases covered. A few bases covered. And at least they're thinking about different types of zombies, different types of attacks. So if it did happen, it's not the worst thing in the world. At least someone's thought about it. But what it does make me scared of is, why are they planning this in the first place?
Yep.
Even as a hypothetical example, I understand that it gives a good way of looking at different scenarios, but is there more to it? I'm not entirely convinced that there isn't more to it.
I'm thinking they could have chosen vampires, they could have chosen mummies. There's all kinds of things that are less likely than zombies, I think.
Yeah. They chose this to be a hypothetical, unlikely, or even, what do they say, even impossible example.
Yeah,
because I'm not sure that this is impossible, considering chicken zombies have already existed.
That's the thing. I think they don't want to panic people, but also, like, this is probably actually quite a good thing to have a plan for.
Yeah.
Like, it's an impossible thing. It could never happen, but, you know, just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case, let's make a plan.
Got it. So, have you got plans for an alien invasion? No, but we've got the zombie one sorted as well.
You've got alien zombies. You've got aliens. No, just alien zombies.
Oh, thanks for that, Martin.
Thank you. That was really interesting.
That was shocking. And what do you guys think at home, listening to this or watching us on YouTube? Please tell us in the comments or on Twitter. Our Twitter handles have been on screen, or if you're listening, they are at All Time Robin.
At All Time Martin.
And at Alex Brown ATC, because All Time Alex was already taken.
And at AT Conspiracies.
Exactly.
Yes. You won't remember any of them.
No. Give us a tweet, give us an email, give us a comment. Let us know your thoughts. Are the zombies real? And will the plan work?
Mm. And speaking of comments,
do you have some YouTube comments? Yeah.
Okay.
I've got one, which is slightly longer than usual.
Okay.
But I thought it was quite interesting. On our... our last week's podcast, where we talked about cryonics, I think.
Okay,
we did.
It's from King George the VI.
Oh my God,
he watches us, wow.
And King George the VI says, I recently subscribed within the last week after watching for a while now and commenting for the first time. You guys do an amazing job.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. In line with your response to how you handle sensitive conspiracy theories, actually this might have been on the pizza party then. Personally, I feel that all of you do an amazing job in presenting all of your conspiracies in a sensitive, logical, and balanced fashion. I feel that you seem to have a BBC News journalistic integrity, if that makes sense. I like BBC News, by the way, he says.
He says.
Yeah.
Some would disagree. I'm sure.
You present all points of view in a neutral and respectful fashion, providing points and counterpoints to all sides, and allow the viewer to come to their own decision, like the news and journalism used to.
An incredible comment.
I was just blown away by that one. And
probably gives us too much credit, though.
Yeah, and welcome to the club, King George the VI.
Yes.
How do you feel now that we've just talked about zombies?
I was going to say, just about to say thank you, George, but I was like, King George the VI.
That was a lovely comment. Thank you, King George the VI. Coldstream G-Man, who has commented...
Coldstream G-Man.
Yeah, commented before. He's actually given us an offer to go and have a tour around... I think he does tours around like certain historical places in London, like the Tower of London. So we should definitely...
We'll take him up on that
offer. But he says, would it not be better... This was on our last podcast talking about cryonics. Yeah. Would it not be better to work on extending life rather than cryopreservation? Because if that comes first, then people are just going to be waiting to die to be revived. So what do you think about that? Should we be focusing on, or do you think cryopreservation is something we should really be focusing on? Or should we be focusing our attention on improving the longevity of life? And if you had a choice, maybe you'd say forever, but how long would you want to live for?
I mean, there's so many different parts to that. In our discussion last week, it was very much, would you want to be brought back to life if you were very, very old?
Yeah.
That was one of the things that came up. for me, if I was past a certain age, I might not want to be if my health wasn't in very in very good condition. So yes, I agree that we should be trying to get people to be live not only longer, but just better quality lives, maybe. Yeah. So people aren't in either destitution or poverty, and people are having a good quality of life as opposed to just it being extended.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, if I wanted to be frozen, I'd want to live a full life before I'm frozen, at which point I'd probably be too old and frail to actually be worth waking up again.
Do you want one more comment?
Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
So this was an interesting comment. This is from Ed White. He says, again, this was in our last podcast when we mentioned China. And he says, I think it's cute, the comment about China becoming westernized yet getting more dictatorial. Coming from a Brit, a country increasingly becoming basically the V for Vendetta match. Which I like that comparison.
I like the comment.
What do you think of that? Are we becoming like V for Vendetta? Have you both seen V for Vendetta?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's like an authoritarian government, I guess.
I wouldn't say that the point isn't... it's not mutually exclusive, is it? Yeah. It's not like you can't say that China's becoming more dictatorial. It's like, I can't say that because Britain is and I'm British.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think your point stands.
Yeah, I mean, I think China is the most heavily, what's the word? CCTV, has the most amount of CCTV in any country. And I think
China, I thought we did.
There's ours per
square. I thought we were.
Yeah, we like the most density-wise. Yeah.
It's either them or us. We are up there.
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, it's been a few years since I've watched the film. But what I remember most from that film was that the news presenter, who like basically warped the minds of people to kind of be all for the government and, and I just think that's kind of more relevant than ever with all the talking heads that you've got on TV. Piers Morgan is basically that guy.
I thought that was, I think the main, in relation to that, I think a lot of the stuff that's in V for Vendetta actually is more accurately reflective of America than it is Britain.
Yeah, but I mean, America kind of reflects us a lot.
Well, exactly. We're becoming more like America.
I don't think there's too much difference in the way we act both domestically and internationally between the countries massively at the moment. Tends to be where they go, we follow still.
Or in the case of torture, we just pass them on. Literally, I'm not...
It's true.
Documented that unfortunately. We just passed them on to America, knowing they would torture them.
Yeah. Well, then you look at Britain in terms of foreign policy towards Yemen and Saudi Arabia selling weapons. Yeah. We've spoken about that a little bit before on this, but not good.
But it's under review, Martin. It's under review.
It's under review.
Everything under will review. Be all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I left it on such a I'm sorry I left it on such a cheery comment.
That's cool. That's cool. That's all right.
That's cool. But it was an interesting one either way.
Very interesting.
I'm sure, Alex, that your news story will
be a
light-hearted goodness.
It is a bit more
world that is
actually
dark and gloomy.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on which way you look at it. It will definitely be good though for the vegetarian zombies out there. that made it sound like I was insulting vegetarians. We literally just spoke about zombies.
if you use the link to skip to this part,
we were talking about vegetarian zombies.
It's fine. What a way to start. So basically, the news story, and this might sound not that big of a deal, but I think it's actually going to be pretty big in the next couple of years.
Okay.
So plant-based meat. So like, you know, the... Have you seen like Beyond Burger?
I've had them.
The Impossible Burger. They're okay. Yeah.
Decent. Really nice.
I haven't tried it.
Yeah.
So the problem with them at the moment is that they're quite expensive.
Yeah.
More expensive than meat. I think it's fair to say for the most part. But plant-based meat is about to get cheaper than animal flesh, which is what a new report says.
That's exciting.
Which is a new report from the Good Food Institute. So a senior scientist there said, named Liz Specht, says, it's all but inevitable that the plant-based meat industry will eventually be cost competitive with conventional meat. In fact, this tipping point may hit relatively soon. And so this news article goes into detail about why that's happened and why this is kind of reaching a tipping point. Mm. Basically, these kind of companies were started and they're like new startups. Mm. And basically, they were increasing the cost, like the cost more than they needed to so that they could invest their profits back into the company so that they could grow it.
Yeah.
And there's basically issues with, because they're quite small companies at the moment, they have to source, you know, their protein, like the pea, I think it's pea protein, Beyond Meat users. They have to source that from other suppliers.
Yeah.
But as this gets bigger and these companies get bigger, they can source their own and then it will become cheaper than actual meat. And there's some interesting points about the meat agricultural industry with regards to climate change. So this, I found this interesting. More than 80% of farmland in the world is used for livestock, but as opposed to just crops.
Yeah, yeah.
But that just produces 18% of our food calories and 37% of protein.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's mad, isn't it? That's like,
it's a huge waste of energy.
A huge amount of, you know, space in the world that's used for livestock when, and the, like, the rest of those crops, just the 13%, is still enough to feed everyone else, which is crazy to think about. So, yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that if this was to happen, would you be on board with, like, swapping permanently and becoming vegetarian?
I think Robin knows his answer.
I mean, yeah, Robin knows his answer.
I don't know how much we've mentioned this before, but I've definitely taken to eating a lot more, well, trying to eat a lot less meat in general.
Yeah.
I still eat quite a bit, actually, but less in general just because of the environmental impact of it. It's
pretty
that's severe.
Very considerate of you.
So I'd be up for this. If it tastes good, it's good, you know?
Yeah, I think that's my
main
thing.
And it has the right nutrients. So you've got to get enough protein and all everything else that comes with it.
Yeah, protein's the biggest challenge, I think.
Protein, iron. Yeah. If that's all
for
there.
Vegetarians, yeah.
That's all there and it's a good substitute. Absolutely fine. If you're missing some of those things, it becomes a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, definitely. I think, because, I mean, that's a lot of the kind of criticism surrounding, like, these kind of meat substitutes, like, from people that, I don't know, are adamantly scared, I guess, that this is going to just take over and completely wipe out meat as
we're still going to be able to buy meat.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we're just that. Yeah, I mean, we're all kind of in agreement here, so there's no real discussion.
It would be a hard thing though, because we'd kind of go back. So, if this were to happen, and you're envisioning a scenario where meat production decreases to the point where meat becomes a luxury, therefore it becomes an expensive treat, then you go back to medieval times when the only people who ate meat in any kind of large quantity were the wealthy.
The landed gentry.
Exactly. Because they could afford it. And the peasants ate meat on very rare occasions. And usually it would be like a scrawny rabbit or a squirrel that they caught, or a dog that had died.
Feed the family on the squirrel. The pet dog's been fed to the family.
The family pig that when it got too old, you know, that kind of thing. I'm exaggerating how bad it was in medieval times. But it's interesting that obviously we would view that medieval situation as symptomatic of the unequal, unfair society.
Yeah.
But we're now looking at potentially having that same scenario existing where the affordable food is not meat, and meat is this expensive luxury that only certain people could probably afford to spend their disposable income on. But at the same time, people accept that willingly because they're like, oh, it's my choice to spend a lot of money on this meat.
Yeah. And also, though, with this, I guess the idea is that it's going to become to a point in the future where it's kind of indistinguishable from the meat. Do you think that will ever happen?
Oh, yeah.
It will, like, it'll become completely indistinguishable.
When they already talk about that.
Because then if they reach that point, then there's
I think we're quite far off still.
Yeah.
I think you can still tell, especially with some things like chicken, you can tell.
Yeah.
Well, chicken anyway.
Yeah.
The ones that tend to be a bit better in terms of substitutes, for me personally, I quite like if I have like some mints, like vegetable mints, can do with that.
I can really tell. I hate meat substitutes. I avoid them.
Oh, you don't have them?
Yeah. You can really tell. And it's like, I'd rather just have some nice, you know, authentic vegetables than try to get something that's trying to be meat, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
the only exception is sausages, because the sausage is the form rather than the contents. So You can have vegetarian sausages. Because
there was that outrage over the vegan sausage roll.
I know.
And like, again, Piers Morgan, he's come up again. But he was like leading the charge of the people.
It's not a sausage roll if it's vegan. Just like, vegan, you know, a sausage is just the shape of the thing. It's not specific.
He said some really fucking stupid stuff. like saying, oh it's if men hold their children, it's effeminate. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Because that was
your dad dropping your head.
That was Daniel Craig, wasn't it? Daniel Craig was James Bond, carrying his baby. He's like, oh, it's a feminine.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Like, James Bond is James Bond. A woman.
Yeah.
Like, what?
The less said about it, less airtime given to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I'd say that also, along with having substitutes, I think just reducing the amount that we mass produce meat and the way that we do it will make a massive difference. Yeah. I'd definitely prefer to pay more and go to the butchers down the road from me than to buy a whole load of meat that's been injected with water that you get in like most supermarkets. It tends to not be that good quality.
Yeah.
So so making sure that you're supporting people that are agriculturally responsible is important. That's also important, as well as the substitutes.
There's also, I guess I'd forgotten about it, the stem cell, all those burgers that they're growing in labs now.
Which is still meat, right?
Actual meat. It's just,
I mean,
which will save space.
That's going to happen at some point as well.
So actually, we might not have a situation where all the poor people eat vegetables. They can still eat meat. It's just grown in labs.
I imagine that would be more, that would take longer to get to the point where it's affordable, as cheap though.
Yeah. Isn't it like, they've started it in America, haven't they? It was started at $3,000 and it's down to $300 now.
Oh, really? Wow.
Well, for lab meat.
For lab meat, yeah.
You can buy it.
Yeah. It might even be down lower than that, like $30 or something.
Interesting to give it a try.
I remember when they made the first burger and they got Heston Blumenthal to cook the burger. I didn't know what he did with it. Like, I've just cooked it.
That's either like great faith in their product or they're so worried, like, let's get a celebrity chef to make this taste nice.
But interestingly, following on from what you said, Martin, with agriculturally responsible, I guess.
Yeah.
I never realized this. This was from a scientific study last year. And apparently beef production results, so like the equivalent amount of greenhouse gases produced per 100 grams of beef could be up to 105 kilograms of carbon dioxide. How mad is that?
100 grams.
For 100 grams.
That's not much, is it? Yeah.
I can't believe
that.
100
grams
in
ounces? How many ounces in a grams in an ounce?
I don't know. Well, that compares to, so like peas, pulses, ground nuts, nuts and tofu are all just like under 5.
So that's like 5
kilograms of carbon dioxide emissions.
That's like 3.5 ounces. So that's like, what are the steaks? Like what, 9 ounces, 10 ounces?
Yeah, something like that.
So that would be,
300 kilograms, 300, 400 kilograms.
Yeah, in the standard steak.
That's mad.
Carbon dioxide.
Mad. And then there's all the water that goes into it. I mean, lots of water goes into crops, but nowhere near as much as just keeping a cow alive.
Yeah.
It's huge amounts.
I mean, it's more efficient, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the cow eats the crops, we eat the cow, whereas you could just eat the crops.
You know, cut out the middleman.
Makes sense.
But
I think, for this to fully, it's exciting if they can get to the point where it is indistinguishable, because then it's like, there's no reason for one of the largest producers of carbon dioxide and one of the largest contribution
factors.
Methane
is the main thing as well, huge amounts of methane.
If they could replicate everything really, so it tastes exactly the same, the nutrients and you're getting everything you need from it as well, there's no reason.
For me though, it's more about the quality. It's not to do with, like, when I started going vegetarian, the thing that really struck me was that obviously it's difficult at first after a lifetime eating meat, and you get tempted and you go back occasionally at the beginning. But it was just like, I became incredibly picky, because suddenly you realize that a lot of meat that's widely available just isn't very good.
Mm.
And it's certainly, for me, doesn't taste as nice as the vegetarian meal equivalents that I was making. I was enjoying the flavor of my vegetarian food a lot more than the meat, than just a cooked steak, unless it was like really good quality, in which case you're spending a lot more anyway. And I was goes back to the scenario I was talking about where meat is an expensive luxury. I was like, it's worth it for, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to suddenly turn vegetarian anytime soon.
Yeah.
But it's exciting to see the development.
But, and also the speed of the development. Like this, these Beyond Burgers and Impossible Burger cropped up in like the last couple of years, two, like very recently.
M&S has only just put its Plant Kitchen brand into stores.
Yeah. So yeah, where this will be where this will be 2-3 years from now.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
When it becomes widely available, let's get some, cook it up, and we'll have a burger party on this table.
On this table. Quite a nice table.
my table with grease. Like the pizza pie, Q&A with burgers.
I like it.
I like it.
Cool. Yeah,
let's do it.
Nice.
Mm. All right. Shall we do a quiz?
Robin, I've been itching for this quiz since last Thursday.
Yeah, right, and I'm tired of losing, so...
Whoa, let's strong words.
Get on with that.
Goodness, okay. Fighting talk. I like it.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
All right, then, welcome to this week's quiz, Martin versus Alex. Well, Alex finally emerged victorious after his...
You don't need to say that. After his slump.
Well, Martin remain the champion?
That's buzzers. Too much pressure, definitely a loser.
Buzzers, gentlemen. Martin?
Groovy, baby.
Oh, Austin Powers. I like it. Austin. Nice. Oh, I miss Austin Powers. I'm sure it hasn't dated at all. And Alex?
So I've gone for a classic YouTube video. Really old school.
Beefy.
Oh, I see. Topical as well.
No one's going to know what that is.
No one's.
Do you want to give any kind of background? Or?
It's
a long story.
It is quite a long story. Just look up Beefy and Taz. These kind of, I don't know.
It's worth it.
I'm not even going to explain
it. But before you do, let us know if you recognise what that was.
If anyone recognises that, I'm going to be amazed.
It's so
from,
niche.
Or maybe some of our friends.
So niche. Okay, question number one. Buzzers at the ready.
Yeah.
Nice, easy one to kind of get you started.
Oh, gosh.
How many strings are on a bass guitar?
Beefy.
Ooh, I don't know who's first there, actually.
I think the volume got very loud.
Maybe it was Alex.
Oh, yes. is there four?
Of course there's four.
There are four, yes. Well done. Sorry, Martin.
I need all the help I can
maybe
get.
Maybe the volume would have, yeah.
Okay, I'll just put it halfway through, so.
How's the volume?
Groovy, baby!
Well, it's better.
Yeah. I put it further through the video because there was a bit of a gap at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, that might be why I thought it was... Yeah. Okay. Question number two. 1-0 to Alex. Who wrote the 16th century treatise, The Prince?
I know some of those words.
treatise,
The Prince. 16th century.
16th centuries.
I don't know many 16th century people.
That's the issue.
Well, I'll tell you a bit more about it. Maybe you'll guess. It was intended to be a kind of ethical warning against things, but it's become a bit of a self-help guide for rulers throughout history.
Could it be?
Groovy, baby!
Thomas Aquinas?
No. 16th century.
I don't
Thomas
know when
Aquinas
he was.
Was
earlier, right?
A bit earlier, yeah.
14?
No, I think it was more like 13th.
I mean, is it a household name? Would we know them?
You would definitely know the name.
Oh, dang.
You go for it.
I don't
have
know.
A guess.
Have a guess.
No, embarrass yourself just as much as I did.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone obscure enough that I can get away with not knowing what century they're from. 16th century.
No. Historical writing.
Okay, I'll give you another clue. They're Italian.
Okay.
Oh. Is it Niccolo Machiavelli?
It is Niccolo Machiavelli.
Yes.
Well done there.
Thank you. The ends always justify the means.
Exactly. Is that it? Yeah. Machiavellian, a word in our lexicon.
Yes.
Question number three. Which sea do Denmark, Finland, and Estonia all border?
Finland, Estonia.
Which sea?
Groovy, baby!
Martin.
I don't know. Caspian Sea?
Nope.
That way off.
It's the one...
I mean, tell me where it is, but that's not...
I don't know what it's called, I don't think.
Oh.
I don't know. Is it the Siberian Sea?
No.
No. It's up that way, though.
Yeah, it's up that way. What would that be? What sea would that be?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of a clue I could give you.
Is there a clue?
Alphabetically, it's not far from what you just said.
Okay.
It's not far, like as in one letter
off? I'm not going to say any more.
Could it be the... Okay, I've got two in mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Baltic Sea.
It is the Baltic Sea. Yeah, yeah, well done.
Obviously, of course.
Well done. So that's 2-1 to Alex.
I mean, the first one was way off. First guess.
Question number four.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you ready?
Buzzer's not ready. Yeah, okay, there we go.
What creature can be identified by an hourglass-shaped mark on its abdomen?
Hourglass.
What creature can be identified?
Why would it have an hourglass? That's the question.
It's kind of iconic. You'd recognize it.
Hourglass shape.
On its abdomen.
Yeah. And to be frank, you would want to recognize it.
You would want to recognize it. That's throwing me.
Beefy. Is it a snake?
Nope.
Okay.
What kind? Well, sorry, you said
a specific one.
A creature.
Yeah.
A real life creature.
A real life creature. Not fictional.
And you'd want to recognize it.
If you saw one, you would know what it was and you would want to know.
You would know what it was.
Yeah.
You would.
Okay. So it's got an hourglass just on its abdomen, not like the shape, like a marking.
Yeah,
marking.
Yeah, it's like they're like a natural mark that is roughly the shape of an hourglass.
Mm. Okay, interesting.
I'm trying to think. Let's go for, it's not right. Anteater.
No.
an anteater.
I don't know where that came from. Alex was closer in that it is a poisonous creature, which is why you would want to recognize it.
Spider?
I mean, I want the specific thing.
Which is a specific spider, Alex.
What? Oh. Okay.
All spiders have an hourglass.
You meant to say it was a black widow spider.
It was a black widow spider. Well done, Martin.
Or an anteater. One of those.
Absolutely robbed.
Often confused. So, 2-1.
We all knew spider.
Going to question 5.
Can I get half a point for getting the right animal?
No, because I told you, I said I wanted the specific thing after you said snake.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough.
Okay. Question 5. What connects Lady Gaga, Kim Carnes, Madness, Mika, and the Gorillaz?
Oh, they're all musicians.
Okay, I won't hold that against you because that is besides that.
Yeah.
Okay, what connects the musicians?
Okay.
Something they've all done.
Yes. Yeah. Who are the other ones? Mika?
There's Mika, Madness. The Gorillaz, Madness, Kim Carnes, and Lady Gaga.
Gorillaz, would they be big enough to do that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, well, I've already guessed.
I forgot it.
Yep.
They all played the halftime Super Bowl? Madness.
No.
That's what I was going to say.
What a madness.
No. Something that connects their music.
Yes.
Oh.
I would say that probably Gorillaz, Mika, and Kim Carnes are the key to this. The other ones slightly...
Oh.
You might not guess. Yeah.
Oh,
But those three bands, you definitely could... Yeah.
What connects Gorillaz and Madness?
Yeah, well, something like maybe don't think about Madness so much. Just think about songs that you know by Kim Carnes.
I'm really not very good with songs
Mika,
names.
And you might get it.
I think I know one song from Gorillaz.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sunshine.
No. It's to do with the titles of their songs.
Yeah.
They've all released a song with a title of something, named after something. And if you can give me that something, you get the point.
Is it a telephone, payphone?
No.
Oh, I was thinking of Lady Gaga. I don't know.
Gorillaz
don't know
these. Gorillaz songs. Yeah. Gorillaz have a song called Feel Good Inc.
Yes, they do. Okay, the connection is they've all written songs, released songs, named after actors.
Oh, okay.
Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes, Gorillaz, first song, right, was Clint Eastwood.
Ah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Grace Kelly, Mika.
Okay.
Grace Kelly. I don't know. Madness, Michael Caine. Which, to be honest, I don't know that song, but I thought, of course, they've written a song about Michael Caine.
Lady Gaga,
John Wayne.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Moving on to question 6. Yeah. It's still 2-all.
Yeah.
Where would you find the pearly gates? That was Alex.
In heaven.
Yeah, in heaven. 3-2 to Alex. That was nice.
Nice easy point there.
Bonus point if you can tell me from which part of the Bible the pearly gates come.
It's actually a bonus point.
Depends if you get the answer.
Is it? Thomas is at the pearly gates. So that will be Thomas.
No.
Mark.
No.
Matthew.
No, it's from Revelation 21.
Of course it is. Revelation, yeah. Classic.
And it's Peter. Peter's at the gates with the keys to heaven in his right hand, I think. Okay.
Of course Peter's at the gate.
Always left him.
Enemy at the gate.
Number
starring sorry, Peter from the Bible.
Number seven. What, or rather, which race is the oldest existing in the Olympics?
Oh.
Martin.
Is it the hurdles?
No. Alex, got a guess?
The marathon.
Yes.
Yes. Battle of the marathon.
Which marathon?
This is the marathon race. The one everyone knows. oldest one.
It works on two levels because it is, firstly, the one event that's been in the Olympics since the beginning, but it's also from ancient Greek times. Yeah, so,
a marathon.
Yeah.
Very good.
You could say it's the longest running event at the Olympics.
Nice.
Although I don't know if it is.
Thank you.
It's good.
Oh, that was good.
Got it.
Took me a while, though.
On foot it would be, wouldn't it, on foot?
Yeah.
Don't know if the cycling events are longer in terms of miles. Probably
are, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Question eight.
Wait, what's the score?
I don't know anymore.
4-2.
It's 4.
Oh, okay.
That's a lie.
No, I think it. I think that was what I had in my head, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You got heaven.
Oh, you did get heaven. I thought you got heaven. No, he got heaven. Yeah. 4-2.
4-2 to Alex, yeah, not me.
All right, 4-2 to Alex. No, you're right. You're correct. Question number eight. Which country has the world's highest waterfall?
I want to say it's somewhere in Asia. I'm going to say Thailand.
No. Martin.
Is it in Venezuela?
It is Venezuela.
Like, Angel Falls.
Angel Falls, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Spot on.
Fair enough. You actually knew the answer.
4-3, going to question nine. Fingers on buzzers.
I'm
going to
be so annoyed if you win this quiz now. I might storm out.
Who wrote A Brief History of Time?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I knew it would happen.
A Brief History of Time.
That's so frustrating.
That was...
You know the answer, but your mind just goes blank.
Stephen Hawking?
Stephen Hawking, yeah.
I was thinking of the character. I was thinking of Eddie Redmayne. With Stephen Hawking, and I think of him.
Well, it's still question 10, so it's currently 5-3, I think. 5-3. Mm. Question 10, which planet does the moon Triton orbit?
Go for it.
Yep.
Saturn.
Not Saturn.
Of course it's not Saturn.
Is it Jupiter?
Not Jupiter.
What?
Another guess, Martin?
Is it Neptune?
It is Neptune. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
5-4 to Alex. Well done.
Very good.
That was close, though. That was close.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good one.
Do you want the bonus question? Just
why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which composer went nearly deaf towards the end of his life?
Was it Mozart?
It wasn't Mozart.
Was it Beethoven?
It was Beethoven.
It was one of the two.
Yeah.
Beethoven and Mozart.
Yeah. Well done, Alex.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Good quiz, Warren. I like that quiz because I knew some of the answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many strings does a bass guitar have?
Where are the pearly gates?
That was the winning question, wasn't it? I suppose in the end.
Could have been.
Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. Please let us know your thoughts by giving us a message on Twitter or in the comments on the YouTube video or by emailing us at alltimesproducers@gmail.com. And as always, thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.